Blog Talk Radio.
Man up! Hey, somebody tell me, man up! Somebody tell me, man up! You got it, your man up! Somebody tell me, man up! Hey, somebody tell me, man up! Somebody tell me, man up! Hey, I thought you told him, man up! Man up!
Tell him, man up!
Our time that the foundation has been set. We're calling all men to join the discussion. Yes, you too, my sister. And let's keep it real. Let's understand that the change that we want to see first begins in us. So let's discover the truth. And let's find out what man up really means. Now is my time to fight. I am taking personal responsibility for my own life. No longer relying on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I'm walking in purpose with God, and I'm holding myself accountable, dedicated, committed to a life of constant change and growth. I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose, and I am the God in me through Christ Jesus. I choose to man up. Well, good evening, family. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. This is the time that we come together and really try to break bondages and really build each other up and let God know how much we really, really love him and are here to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. So if you can just take a moment and give him a praise break. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, clap your hands for the Lord. Amen, amen. We attempted everything in our power to be at the council meeting in Compton tonight. Just didn't happen time with work and scheduling the broadcast. We do know that we are in constant prayer with the city of Compton. I appreciate everyone who came on board last night and supported us from your city and from your state and from your region. We thank God for you, and we know we're praying for your city too. If we have to do something collectively, let me know. My city's going through this. We're going through that. Let's collectively go from state to state and really pray over the violence, over the murder, over the killings, over the shootings, over the burglaries and the robberies, and just plain violence. Amen? Something we can do, and it really doesn't need take a lot of people to do it when we just go ahead and accept the fact that we're going to do what God has called us to do. So tonight, we're just going to talk a little bit. I'm going to ask my brothers, if you're online, to go ahead and dial one now. I'm about to ask some questions to us tonight. And how we respond may be how someone else finds an answer to making the right decision. Someone asked me, well, Pastor, you keep talking about this better person, this better man, a good man. How do I do it? First thing I remembered in my transformation was learning to say no. Ladies, this might help you too, because this could work for all of us. But being a man means being able to put your foot down and say no to yourself. When you're going to become better, when I'm going to become better and become good, and good as God has called us to be, I must learn to resist myself and elevate to God and allow him to be my source of everything. So I have to put my foot down on myself, and I have to learn to resist myself, my brother, and I have to learn to tell myself no. Hard, hard thing to do, especially when you're in control and you don't think anybody else is watching. The one good thing about being a child of God is that, or not a child of God, he's watching regardless. He's just paying attention when you're paying attention back. Number two, we got to learn to claim our space and our territory. A powerful, strong man will know his arena, will know his claim to the territory, and know how to stand for those who are weaker than him, how to give opportunities for the lesser people in lesser positions than themselves. And number four, men, we got to learn, and this word sexuality doesn't have anything to do with sex. I'm not convinced that that's going to give us the answers we need. But we need to learn. We need to learn to in a society of people who just love being the what's going on or the who. See, a modern man, a real man, has to learn how to stand up for himself. And then when we learn how to inherit the masculinity and the potential of being a great man, we have to know how to use our sexuality, and that sexuality is not sex. It's having compassion. It's having an understanding of others' needs as well as our own. See, in society, it's more acceptable just to fit in, to stop working on you, to stop improving yourself, just accept what you are. That be a good worker, that worker be, and don't forget to punch in, don't forget to punch out. But we have to learn, my brothers, how to draw a line at some point. See, it was recommended to me as a man that for me to define who I am and to define what I am energetically in my, not just my professional life, but in my godly life first, in my family life second, and then in my professional life. See, most people cross the line and don't even think about it twice. But when you know your line and you learn to reclaim your independence, my brother, by setting those firm boundaries in our lives that will never be crossed again. The scripture that I always love to remind myself is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he has to draw the line. Because anyone who's in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. But that line must be drawn never to go back. Never to return from where we came. I share this, and I share this a lot, and I hope someone said that's redundant. You'll never be any better in your past, in your now, excuse me. You'll never be any better in your now than you were in your past. Well, I'm going to do it over. I'm going to try to. No. We have to understand we start new now. And here's how desperate I've become in becoming a better man is my now is now. And every now I'm trying to improve myself. Every 0 to 5 seconds, it's just not a sermon for me. It's not just another word or another cliche. It is really a lifestyle for me. And those that know me know that I'm telling the truth. But when we learn the ways to say no, we can really identify our territory and be enabled not to just be the alpha, but to be in control. Not just to be the boss, but to be the leader. And, you know, some leaders follow. And some of us, because of our masculinity and strength and size, we use that to express ourselves. How we can force ourselves to be heard. But when we learn to stand up tall, breathe, smile, and express ourselves clearly, that doesn't make us less than a man. That doesn't make us a cower or slouch or talk lightly. No, we still have the strength, but we now know it's not what we do, but how we do it. Then we move to the next level, and we understand, and we're really recognizing, I'm just trying to take you on a journey with me today, what's helping me, is that the more I stand for others who are weaker than me, the more I still understand the weaknesses in myself, that if I help others, I don't have to go back to it. See, being a positive influence is just not being excited around everybody. Being a positive influence is influencing others to be positive. So when you stand up for someone, it's not like you're making them feel lesser. You're building them up, my brother. I'm not trying to tear you down tonight. I'm trying to build you up. And likewise, you build me up. See, someone who is upset or with an attitude, they'll never accept that you're for them. They'll never accept that you want the best for them. Because now their anger, their misery, only tries to draw company. My brothers, we have to learn how to really build people up instead of tearing them down. That's going to help a husband tonight. That's going to help a father tonight. That's going to help a best friend tonight. Is that if we don't have anything to say that's good, we shouldn't say nothing at all. How many times have we just ignored someone being bullied or someone being taken advantage of or watch this, someone unfairly being blamed for something that maybe you did, and we took the back road, we took the escape route. To be a real man is to be accountable and be accountable of who you are. See, then when you learn who you are, you're as a powerful, strong man, you're not in doubt about your sexuality. You're not ashamed of your compassion for people. It doesn't take away from your strength. And you shouldn't hide the feelings that you have, my brother. I know you've been hurt. There's several on here tonight, and I'm not even looking at the line tonight. God just has me flowing. But I know there's several on you that I mentor already that say, I'm done. I'm done. And God says, no. This is your finally. This is your time to finally understand that it's good for you to not want to be alone. Man was not good to be alone, or he would not have left him a helpmate. And for those of us that are in a position that we can withstand and continue to doing the work, that still does not take away that we're supposed to be alone. That unless you have no desire for companionship or no desire for friendship, or no desire for support. Just because you're in a season of growth and maturing yourself does not mean you have to take yourself away from your inner feelings and the things that you know you would like to have. See, I can guarantee you that most of us that may even kind of share or pour on the others our discomforts, we really don't like. We don't really want other people to be upset. We don't really want to step on toes or insult. That's where we learn how to be a true man and not using our power in strength, but our power in spirit. See, when you express yourself emotionally, the number one way it helped me was prayer. Prayer calms me down. Prayer puts me into, as Pastor Dwayne, perspective. Prayer lines me up. That I'm not worried about the outcome. I'm worried about the now situation. So we have to stop it. We have to stop and stop, you know, denying ourselves to being who we are. And believe me, don't give up and go for it. And what I mean by that is become the best you can. Become the most efficient you can, that now you can go and really be a good man, husband, father, friend, pastor, minister, or whatever the calling is on your life, my friend, because God wants to see the best in you. Now, when you learn to care about others, you now learn some very quality principles on how you should have really protected and served your family and your loved ones. I know if your brother came home beat up, you might go help him or send him back out there and tell everybody else to stay out of it. But to really protect and serve our loved ones, my brother, it's a responsibility. Responsibility to safety, to strength, to power, to love, to anyone you're connected with. See, it, as a real man, when people come around you, they should already feel a sense of security in your area. Remember I said we took over territory? That doesn't mean we took a stake and planted it out. That means that anywhere we are, that is our territory to protect and to serve those with us. So you can walk in a room and see your family automatically light up because they see the strength and the power that you walk with by being a strong man of God and not a bully, but a true man of God. So when they need help, your number is the one they call. They know you're coming. They honor you as you honor the relationship. You built a bond with people because of your realness to protect. See, by using our unique talents and our and the energy that we carry to help our families, there is a building block that's taking place that could probably make some leeway and some room for the youth, the young people that have been left behind. And then as we build each other up, do you know you're going to need somebody once, you're going to need somebody eventually too. And now that you see that the building process is in place, we have to learn next level is to produce more than we consume. See, a real man has a bigger, higher purpose than just a one-time shopping spree. It's bigger than a bank account. It's bigger than social media. It's bigger than my job. It's bigger than even family. See, a real man, we're talking about what does it take to be a real man? is always working not to owe. Not is a real man is always working not for a handout. And we must strive that as we become the real lender and borrow, as the credo said, we'll really start to walk and strive to produce as much values to others as possible. See, it goes back to serving others. I just can't stop reminding myself. I just cannot stop reminding myself of the principle of loving one another as ourselves. See, serving others has taught me how to really fulfill my own needs. And my own needs are to build and create. And now show others as a purpose strong man, to show others how to maintain a strong mind, body, soul. Because when we learn how to love others as ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves, it started out with loving God with our everything. And it has to build a better mind, a better soul, a better spirit, a better strength. And yes, health-wise too, my brother. We must exercise. We must take care of ourselves. We must produce more than we consume. A friend of mine was in the office today. And he was coming from the gym, and I was saying that I hadn't been to the gym while I'm doing my own little push-ups and trying to build up the principle of more chest than belly. Because if my chest is bigger, then you might not see the little extra belly that's popping back up after I lost the weight that I asked God to take away. See, being a real man, I had to accept it and acknowledge it to somebody in witness. And say, you know what? I'm going to do better. How much is your gym? Oh, I'm going back to Planet Fitness. Let me get my little $20 a month plan and go back to Planet Fitness and get on there and sweat and get rid of this excess before it gets excessive. See, that's a real man that learns by serving yourself, you serve others. And now we're going to produce more than we take in. Oh, somebody ran on that one. We produce more than we intake. That means we will live a healthy life. And now we're fulfilling our purpose. We're serving others. It just seems like it's not enough time in the day when you utilize every 24 hours that you have. Now your passion grows. Now your motivation is excelled. And your energy is relentless. And it's just not a job. It's a lifestyle. Becoming a good man becomes a lifestyle. And when you get a lifestyle of a good man, my brother, we will walk in integrity at all times. See, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, the state of being whole and undivided. Through these lessons and these steps we've already taken, we learn how to honor each other and really build each other up. One of the biggest things that I ministered on the 48-hour prayer this weekend was about how prayer works when we unify. And I'm telling you, last night, prayers already have started to move. In reality, prayer works when you pray. But you can't pray with dishonesty. You can't pray being immoral. We must stay and be whole, my brothers, and undivided. See, that's when integrity tells me that I have a strong moral code that guides me every second of my day. And I start to teach moral codes. Oh, here's, you want to hear my number one? I will never contribute to any form of business, association, activity, that is not in line with God and building others. He wanted to hear another moral code. I will not steal. I will not cause direct harm to others, and I will not talk about somebody. So if I just happen to be offered a job that would involve contributing to a unlawful job occupation, I don't want that job. If that job is telling me I have to steal, I don't want that job. If I got to put others under the bus and blame them and talk about them to get paid, I don't want that job. See, those are moral standards that we have to make as men, and that those are some of mine that I start out with in the morning. And it works. And here's a big one. Talking behind someone else's back will always end up back in your face. And I say this, and I'll say it again. A lot of us have reasons and proof and witnesses to why we should say that about someone. That is not a moral standard. That is you being selfish to hold on to your past, which you'll never be better in your now. Let's go back to that one. And stealing doesn't just mean, well, I don't steal from my family. No, stealing means you don't steal from anyone. Well, I've never taken any money. No, stealing. You might steal somebody's idea. You might steal somebody else's design. You may steal somebody else's song. And they never knew about it. You know about it. We shouldn't steal from anyone, known or unknown. And when we are solid with our morals, we have a no-break code, whether you like me or not. And just because you have integrity doesn't mean you have to go without anything. That means you produce more than you intake. You're not worried about a rainy day. Every day is a day you may be in need. Every day is a day someone may need help. And you know how to now respond. So when you stand tall, as I said, you're not showering or over-covering people. You have a standard and a moral standard that if I'm 6'8", I'm going to try to let my spirit be 5'3". We're talking about being a real man. Remember, serving family, serving those close to you does not eliminate the people next door. That means we become so dedicated to standing on these promises that we will not go back, and we will press towards the mark of the high calling. We will reach our goals. We will accomplish the mission. And mostly important, we're going to do this together. That's what Man Up is about. You ready to talk about it? Dial 1. I need you to come on in. Let's man up together. Area code 310, last 4, 3213. You're live on Man Up. Let's talk about it. Area code 310, last 4, 3213. Let's talk about
man
it.
Man up, man up, man up.
Man up.
Yes, Pastor G, man, it's the regulator. Let me first just give God all the glory and thank him for a man such as yourself, man. I don't know if you have clones or twins or triplets, but you're everywhere, man. You're on the battlefield in all the trenches. You're doing the work. You're doing an exemplary, commendable job tonight explaining what a man is. So let me just commend you on that. First of all, brother, I thank God for a man such as yourself. Thank him for the prayer vigil this weekend. I came on for a few hours and listened in. I heard Chief Michael Moore. Hey, the chief of LAPD came on. I heard Sheriff Alex Villanueva, he came on. Hey, I missed
Sheriff
Mike Gibson, but I heard that he came on. Man, it was so amazing, the prayer vigil. I heard a lot of the evangelists, bishops, activists come on prayer.
Yeah.
I heard you and Rock Saturday night. Y'all was out there in the streets doing it, man. And
yes,
and,
sir.
And so I commend God for that. And this show right here, this Man Up show, you know, we as black men have the greatest challenges on being a man, what it is to be a man. And the thing about that, the dynamics of the different understandings that many of us have, because the education we get, it comes from many of the sources that defer us to what a man really is not, although we think that as being a man. And so many
right.
of the qualities that you just, and characteristics that you just have explained, have everything, all the tools in what it is to be a man. You know, we cannot look around and say, who is going to do this or that? It takes a man to get in there and fix this. It takes a man to get out and go to work every day. It takes a man to set the example in the family. You know, one thing that crossed my mind about being a man is, the question is, who is more of a man in the house? Is it the man or the woman? You know, we cannot outdo a woman. The only thing we can do is do all that we can do as far as our responsibilities go, because they bearing children, they're raising kids, they're taking care of us, they take care of themselves. And then, you know, we as men, we have duties also around the house, in the house, out the house. And if we sit down and allow the woman to do everything around and in and out the house, who is more of a man? So
right.
we got to step up. We got to step up as men. You
yes,
know,
yes,
I look at our educations, Pastor Ian, to all the listeners that we have gotten from America. And a lot of them are misleading. And I believe that's why some of us have complications on adjusting to this system in America. Because the Japanese, he's doing his, Tino's doing their thing. And everybody else, the Europeans are doing their thing. And the reason why is that we need to study who we are and implement that with what God wants us to be, because God wants us to know who we are. I don't think he wants us to go through this life worshiping him alone and not knowing who we are. If we know who we are, man, I think we'll be a greater being and have more assets into being that man. If we could see things and understand things that come along our way, we'll know what it is, how to deal with it, without the emotions, without the madness, without the frustration. We'll handle it as a man. You know, one example is some of the characteristics that we use to fill in besides being a man is, I'm going to be the beast of this. Well, you want to be a beast or you want to be a man about it? So we use a lot of these other cliches that we put that's in the system, and I think it takes away from us. So we have to be mindful of being a man at all time. God created us as the greatest being, man. It's a marvelous
yes,
thing that we can think. We have hands to repair and fix, drive, fly, you name it, do surgery, paint,
yes.
write. Yes. All those other creatures cannot do the things that we're capable of doing. So, man, I just wanted to commend you, man, once again, on bringing this subject, this topic, on being where we can put on our shoes, zip up and fasten our pants, man, and put our shirt on and get out here and roll our sleeves up and be a man about everything that we do.
Man, that's right. I'm desperate for other brothers and brothers like you joining in. I can't do this by myself. You can't do this by yourself. It's going to be a collective issue from all of us talking the same stuff. all the way up in Madison, Wisconsin. Pastor Dwayne, are you available? Dial one. The same conversation is 3,000 miles away. The violence there, the inability to teach, and you hit on that. What we've been taught doesn't mean just because you got a degree in it means you're right. Sometimes you might need a re-education, and then have an opportunity to see the truth in who you really are as a man. Come on, Pastor Dwayne, out of Madison, Wisconsin. Come on, 3,000 miles away. Y'all better get ready for the revival.
Hey, I'm telling you, you better get ready because you know God is ready for us to come up out of this nonsense. And just like he's saying, you know, we've been taught and we've been saying this for years. So it's time to show action. You know, the world is looking for something different. You know, and they tired of the same old, same old. You know, we've been preaching at them for years, but ain't no demonstration out behind it. You know, we say Black Lives Matter, but only time Black Lives Matter is when someone gets shot. You know, we supposed to be protesting constantly every day. If we want change, we gotta want change. You know, we just can't have change when all this drama starts. And change gotta start within. Let's get out there and do stuff when it's not no violence. Let's get out there and embrace one another and encourage one another. You know, it's some days here that there haven't been no shooting and things like that. So we should have been out there embracing. Hey, we thank you guys, or we saying this and we saying that. The violence isn't doing this, the violence isn't. And so that's the same way in the gospel. The gospel had to be preached. We had to preach it where we preach it, in and out of season. We got to be consistent of doing what we're doing. And that's how we make a change, you know? Because I know back in my days, you know, when they came up with that idea of growth and development, you know, gangs basically was to be like the Masons, you know, where we had doctors,
exactly.
Lawyers, judges, you know, whereas like if some of our brothers go to jail, that we able to feed the family, we able to keep the family unstable, not getting them on drugs and all that kind of stuff. We got sidetracked. You know, we start loving money more than we love one another. And that's what we got to get rid of. We got to get rid of our thinking and think about positive. You know, so that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's right.
We beat each other up, but yet we don't, you know, we don't support each other like we supposed to support each other. And you know, I want to ask a question. This is my question.
But hey, let me share this first before you do that.
Okay.
Now, I know I introduced Pastor Dwayne from Madison, Wisconsin. Pastor Dwayne is from Chi-Town, so his experience is deeper than Madison, Wisconsin. So I just want you guys to know that he went for a better life and started his ministry up there. But Pastor Dwayne comes with firsthand experience of how it is in Chi-Town, and how Chicago is so violent and so corrupt.
I come from a game infected community. I grew up in the projects on the west side of Chicago. You know, I've been shot a few times. You know, I've seen some of my best friends get shot right there, standing next to me. I have tote guns and did shooters, and I had to shoot my way out of parties. So I've been that life. You know, I've been places where people won't go, but it's just the grace of God that pulled me out of that. I've been in and out of prison. You know, I got a testimony. My life, I didn't know God. You know, I had this mind of frame. You know what? I tell a lot of people my testimony. How I really got converted. You know, I was when I got out of prison and moved up to Madison, all I know is institutionalized. Okay? So I didn't know how to read, I didn't know how to write, I didn't graduate from high school. I came up here with the mentality of I was just a lost kid. You know, and my thing is then you get hit with the drugs. I was on my way to a role of destruction. I figured this is my criminal activity mind. I was going to go to Florida, right? Because if you go to Florida, I'm a drug dealer. You know, I feel like this. If I go to Florida, don't nobody know who I am. So I can go down to Florida. I can make a connect. I can become a hitman. You know what I'm saying? Because I know how to get in the car, steal a car. I know how to get a gun. I know how to get rid of this and how to get rid of that. All you got to do is give me a couple of keys, and I can shoot him over back here in Wisconsin, and I can feed my family. That was my frame of mind. That's what I was on. That's
I was on the road of destruction.
Come on,
a lot of folks don't know that. I was thinking about getting some keys, come back here to Wisconsin, and flood this community with my brothers. You know, because there's 10 of us, and I got a lot of cousins, and I got a lot of nieces and nephews. So I'm thinking, if I do all this here, I go down there, I make a connection, make some hits, get a couple kilos, shoot them back here, then we can start living. But God changed that. When God changed that, he taught me how to read the Bible. He told me what to go get. I'm telling you literally, this is how the Holy Ghost taught me. God told me go get a Bible. That's a DVD you can buy. They got the New Testament and Old Testament. It tells you everything about Jerusalem and everything. God told, I was up one night looking at TV, and I heard on TV they was preaching. But, you know, on the midnight they have ministry. So the guy came on there with this Bible. Because I've been praying to God, Lord, teach me how to do this. And the guy came on there, and he said about this Bible. You can order this Bible. It costs it $10. And I ordered the Bible, and I got me a King James Bible, and it was a King James DVD. And it taught me everything from Genesis to Revelation. And then I ended up, you know, and when I was down in Florida, when God changed my mind, the church that I was going up here, I ended up finding a church down there. And then I went there on a Friday. On Friday, I had a man night. Then on a Saturday, I came back. I cut up all my braids. I gave away all my jewelry. I had diamonds in my ear. I had gold all around my neck. I cut my head a ball. I worked in the church. I was working on the park lot in Tennis. I stayed in that church, man, for 5 years. I worked from the altar, from working out in the park lot ministry to working at working in the church as an altar. Then I was worked in the bus ministry. Then I started cooking in the church. I was painting the church. I was doing everything that God was teaching me steps. He was teaching me obedience. And that's what we have to do now. We have to teach obedience. We know that, yeah, we know that it's going to be hard. But if you go this route, it'll make it better for you. Don't pick up the pistol. Don't pick up the drugs. Don't pick up this. Grab a book. You know, reading is one of the greatest tools that we can give our brothers and sisters, because it's an escape from this madness. Man, I wish, you know, the times that I was growing up, I wish I would have found a place like Madison. I didn't see Madison. I didn't see nothing like this until I came up here when I got out of prison. Because when I was there, you don't see white people. You know, only time you see white people is when you're going to the Chicago Stadium. That's with Michael Jordan and the Blackhawks. Other than that, you see a truant officer and police officer. That's the only time I see. But I came up here, and God just changed. He got that taste out of my mouth. He got rid of the drugs out of my mouth. He got rid of trying to be a hustler out of my mouth. He got rid of all that stuff. Why? Because I was consistent. I was hungry. I was hungry for something different. And here it is, 20 years later, I'm still preaching the gospel. God has ordained me to be a pastor. God's ordained me to be a minister. I started from a parking lot attender, from being an usher. I ushered on one side of the church for a whole year. God was developing me left and left and left. And so he elevated me to where I can understand his word. I can understand what he's saying. He's saying that he said, great is he that is in you that's in the world. That's why I love Christ. Because he pulled me out of the gutter. He took me some places that the gang effect
is supposed to do for me. They supposed to help me to go get an education. They supposed to help me to go to school. But yet, no, they gave me a pistol in my hand. They gave me a sack of weed, and they gave me some alcohol. That's what I got from the age of 12 to 22 years old. But now, look at God. God changed things around. If we would give them what we have, we can't be scared to tell somebody that. And this is what I'm battling with right now, Apostle. Why is it a brother would see me and be so mad at me and don't even know me? Why is it that we can't embrace one another? You don't even know me. You never spoke to me a day in my life, but you can see at me and have so much hate in you about me. Why is that, man?
It goes back to us and our inability to show our sensitive side and our ability. We've been taught to mad dog. We've been taught to stare down. We've been taught, and that's where the change has to be. And for those out there listening, I know you hear us talk a lot about God, because that's what worked for me. That's what worked for Pastor Dwayne. That's what worked for Clarence. And that's what will work for you. but it also includes work. You cannot just sit around and pray and expect walls to break and violence to stop by just the prayer. We have to go out and not tell people not to shoot. Give them another alternative to shoot. Give them another alternative to steal. Give them another alternative to drugs. And each and every one of us have so much experience that it's easy to share when we're authentic. And we live in integrity. See, that spirit of integrity has to grow in men because we treat each other like crap. We don't respect each other's gifts and our talents. We say we want to work together, but as soon as we get together, here it goes, who's in charge or whose name on the cards or whose name
Come
is
on.
This and why are they always calling you and what? No, that's where we as real men
mm-hmm.
can stand and say it doesn't matter who name you say. We in this together. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what someone else is. We know what we stand for as men, and that's the purpose of Man Up, is that from Madison to Los Angeles to Florida to Maine to Texas to the state of Washington, that we all as men get this thing together and become more like each other because we want to be Christ-like.
Amen.
And look, and let me say this, and I'm going to say this, if there's anybody else out there with another religion, I want to say this right now. You may not believe Christ as the personal Lord and Savior who was God in the flesh, but everybody in every religion I've ever connected with is always trying to be like Christ because they say he walked with love. He walked with forgiveness. His walk couldn't be denied. Because there was proof of it, there was the writings and all of the the experiences that people had with him that proved his walk. So we're not trying to knock anybody's other way of thinking about God. We're trying to say he walked a certain way that everybody does emulate the walk of Christ. It's just not the believing in him as the personal Lord and Savior, God in the flesh that saved our sins by dying on the cross. Only discrepancy, but everybody always, when they read about the man Jesus, say, wow, if I could walk like that, if we get a better passion just for that alone and not try to preach a sermon and not try to convince somebody to do what you want them to do, but to automatically start to show them the life of Christ, they may want to know more about him.
Amen.
And then I believe, brother, that they would now know him as the personal Lord and Savior, because it wasn't us just, you know, telling them what we thought or telling them what we expected, but what God said.
Yes, sir. What God says.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What God said. Hey, the lines are hot. You want to get in the conversation? Dial 1. We want to bring in the conversation. We are talking about being a real man. This ain't no sermon. This isn't no hype seminar. This is truth. How to be a real man. We discovered some things tonight. We discovered that, first of all, we can do it. And we can do it now. I want to go back over these 7 steps to being a man. Number 1, learn to say no. Number 2, claim your space and your territory. Number 3, stand up for those who are weaker or lesser in a lesser position than yourself. Number 4, express yourself. Don't be ashamed. Number 5, energetically protect and serve your family. Bottom line. Number 6, produce more than you consume. And number 7, always have integrity. I believe if we live and we start to really talk about these standards and we really start to share with these young people out here, and watch this. Always walk in integrity, not always talk integrity. People can see integrity by the way you do things instead of what you say. And
That's
these young
so
kids,
true.
They, and look, let me tell you right now, they ain't going for the hokey-doke. You just can't run out there telling them anything. You have to have some really substance to get these kids to say, okay, I'm willing to listen now. Step out your box. Let's reach the lost. Let's let them know we're here for them. Come on, dial one. We got about 9 minutes left. And it may be that one person out there that heard something tonight that you want to hear more and you want to connect with us, dial one. We'll get you our phone numbers. We are all available to talk, no matter where you are. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be Clarence. It doesn't have to be Pastor Dwayne. It doesn't even have to be us at all. We'll find somebody else on the line that will talk with you and that may have the same type of spirit as you. But if it's me, let me know. If it's Pastor Dwayne, if it's Clarence, Minister Clarence, let him know. No, Minister Regulate. That's going to be his tag from now on. Minister Regulate. If it's him, because we all have a different way of communicating, please let us know. Now, for my sisters out there, yeah, I see you. I see you always supporting us. Come on, dial one, get in a conversation with us this evening. And number one, it has to be Pastor Terry. Come on into the conversation. It's Man Up.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, I threw you under the bus. Pastor, yes, I did.
That's okay. You know, the Lord says stay ready. You don't have to get ready.
You know me. Yeah,
you know what?
Me. You know me.
I can always say I'm just proud of you men. You men of God for sharing the word of God and sharing it so truthfully and real where the younger generations can receive. And like you said, Pastor E, and I think I heard someone said, one of you men of God said, it ain't what we do, what we say, it's what we do. Because they look at,
yeah.
I look at kids, and younger kids mimic what you say. They say, whatever you say around the child, be careful what you say. Because they pick up them words, and they pick up their behavior. What they see you do, they going to do too. So glory be to God. Man up. I love when Tuesdays come. Praise be to God. Amen. Love you all, family.
Amen. Amen. We love you too, Pastor Terry.
Amen.
Come on. Anybody else out there want to get in the conversation, dial one. It doesn't matter who you are, male or female, young, old, whatever. Dial one and get in the conversation. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take these last 7 minutes to pray. And I'm going to ask my brothers who are already open, Minister Regulate and Pastor Dwayne, to pray with me. As we go forward, I'm going to ask Minister Regulate to start the prayer. Take about 2 minutes. Pastor Dwayne, take about 2 minutes, and I'll close us out with the final minute and a half. Regulate.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to you on him being our administrator, being our lawyer, being our advocate, to cry and say thank you. For if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough, Heavenly Father. So we thank you for the men. We thank you for the women. We thank you for our families, our friends, and those around in our communities. Because you bless us each and every day with health. You bless us with light, with shelter, with food, with the peace to move out in our communities that sometimes become ever so dangerous.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, show us the way to be that man that you created us and molded us to be. Bless our children. Bless these babies. Father, they are
baby speaking in tongues. Baby speaking in tongues.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father. We just want to be like you, Father, in everything we do. We want to give.
Yes, Lord.
We want to forgive. We want to love. We want to lift up and just embrace everything that you created us to be. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Pastor Dwayne.
Well, Father, we just thank you once again, Lord, for having an open ear, God. You know our concern and you know our compassion for the lost, God. We need you, Lord, to speak into the nation, God. Speak into the minds of your peoples, God. Show us a better way, God, to reach the lost. Show us a better way to give them love. Show us a better way to have our own open and embrace them. Lord, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Give us some type of understanding, God. You know all things. You have the way, the truth, and the light. So, Lord, we just pray right now, God, that you will let this word go out of the from the mute, from the speakers out into the byway and the highway, God. Let them hear the word, God. Let them hear the compassion. Let them hear the love, God. Most important, God, let them come back to you, God. Teach them what repentance is, God. And, Lord, give us the opportunity to show respect. Let us get rid of this arrogant spirit in us, God, and embrace them with love, peace, and heart. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. And we just say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to continue to join together and man up. We thank you, Lord, that as we share, it will be heard as if it's coming from you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father God, that as we continue to join and support one another, that, Lord, you will grow us, you will elevate us, and you will put us in the place that we man up for you, that we man up for our brothers. We man up for our sisters. We man up for our children. We man up for our neighbors. We man up for our city. We man up for our nation. And we man up for the world. Have your way like never before. We trust you. We rely on you. And we say, have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Come on, man up.
Man up, hey, somebody tell me, man up, somebody tell me, man up, you got it, your man up, somebody tell me, man up, hey, somebody tell me, man up, somebody tell me, man up, hey, I thought you told him, man up, man up,
tell him, man up.
You are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.